you're all here, so that means you made it, and I'm grateful for that. With the anybody have any trouble making it to the building? Everything locked down because of the marathon? It's interesting. We've had to kind of negotiate our way to get to the building. My day has been very interesting, and if you'll allow me just a little bit of self-indulgence, I want to tell you about it. First of all, yesterday my sister went into labor, and that's exciting. She lives in Fort Worth, and so Tiffany took the kids, and we got very excited. She took the kids, she packed up, and she left and went to Fort Worth, which is great. But when she left with my cell phone and all of my keys. My keys to the building, my keys to the house, and my keys to any vehicle that I might use to get to church, which is okay. It looked a little bit weird wearing a suit and tie, walking down the street, hopping through the marathon, just kind of, hey, hi guys, you know. But I'm glad that I'm here, I made it. Today is an interesting day. But when I mean that today's an interesting day, I'm not really talking about that. We've gathered here this morning, we're worshiping, we've shared communion together, we're about to hear a sermon. All of that's normal. That's not unique. But what we're going to do after this is quite unique. We are going to take a person, a man, and we are going to, somebody is going to put their hands on this person and say a prayer. And somehow, in the process of this, this person, Paul Vaughn, will become an elder of this church. We are ordaining him, setting him apart for what Paul the Apostle calls a noble task. Well, what does that really mean? What does it mean that we are ordaining somebody? Well, when a church ordains a person, what we are saying is that we see that the Holy Spirit is calling this person to some particular ministry. And in this case, it's the ministry of leadership. And we, the Holy Spirit-filled community that we call the church, we affirm that in them. We see it. So today we say to Paul, Paul, you are our shepherd. We see that. We affirm it. We accept it. And we bless it. And we bless it with humility and with gratitude. In ordaining somebody, we are not handing them a license to authority as much as we're kind of recognizing what the Holy Spirit has done, that the Holy Spirit has equipped this person to be an elder. And through the selection process that we've been undergoing for the past few months, the Holy Spirit has allowed us to see that. And so we're going to do that in about 10 minutes. We will ordain Paul. But before we do, I'd like to say a few things to this church. And the first is this. Shepherds are God's gift to the church. As we affirm Paul today, I'm reminded of a short passage in Jeremiah. In Jeremiah, there was this time when Israel's leaders had just been consistently bad. Bad leaders. They were arrogant, idolatrous, immoral leaders. And because of that, and despite the fact that God had sent prophets to rebuke them and to call them back, they persisted in their evil, and so God let the consequences of their evil play out. An army invaded Israel, the king was deposed, and the people were scattered to the wind. And what that means is that the people of Israel no longer had any leaders. There was nobody to call them together into community. There was nobody to lead them. There was nobody to show them what it meant to be faithful to God. They had no leaders. They were, as one of the Gospels says, they were like sheep without a shepherd. But God wanted them to know that he hadn't forgotten Israel, and that one day he was going to call them back to him. And on that day, when that happened, Jeremiah, speaking the words of God, says this. He says, I will give you shepherds after my own heart who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Shepherds after God's own heart. Shepherds who follow the good shepherd, Jesus Christ. That is what our church, that's what any church needs. That is what we need. And praise God, that is what we have. That is who our elders are. And so, church, we have a responsibility to our shepherds. We have a responsibility to respect them and esteem them highly in love. Esteem them highly in love. That's language that we find in 1 Thessalonians. This is 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 to 13. But we appeal to you, brothers and sisters, Paul writes, to respect those who labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and admonish you. Esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Now let me say a word about this phrase, esteem them very highly in love. That means that we trust our leaders and put our trust in them. We esteem their trustworthiness. When they make a decision, especially if that's a decision that challenges us, maybe we don't like, maybe we find some disagreement with, to esteem them highly means that we understand that they didn't make that decision lightly. We trust their wisdom. We hold their wisdom up in high regard. We trust that they lead us from a place of prayer and spiritual maturity. We hold their spirituality in high regard. We trust them to hear our needs, to visit the sick, to hear our confessions of our own weaknesses and to speak into our own problems. We hold their prayers in high regard. And we do this in love. We love our elders, and we know that theirs is a difficult work, and we respect them for it. And we also respect their boundaries. Our elders are going to need time to recharge. They will need opportunities to get away with their families, to attend to them and to their needs from time to time. And they're going to need our grace to be able to make some decisions, to take some risks, maybe even to make mistakes from time to time without fear that we're looking out for them, ready to judge them, ready to call them hypocrites. We need to accept their leadership with trust, with respect, with love, and with grace. We need to follow like shepherds who are sheep who follow shepherds. The second thing I want to say is actually to bring us to our text that was read this morning from the book of Acts. And to set this up, Paul is leaving. He's been working in an area of the world, Asia Minor, and he's about to leave. He's going to go to Jerusalem. And he has this deep sense that this is the last time that he's going to see these people. He's leaving and he's never coming back. But he's been there for a long time and he's developed some good relationships. And so he is in the port city of Miletus and he calls the elders of the church in Ephesus to come down and visit him so that he can have that last one-on-one conversation with them before he goes. Now, these leaders are the leaders of a church that Paul knows and loves very well. He spent somewhere between 2 to 3 years with the church in Ephesus, worshiping with them and teaching them. And so, and some of these people who are coming down to see him, you can bet that some of these men are Christians because of Paul. That Paul's teaching of the gospel led them to Christ, and now they themselves are elders in the church. And so Paul, who's always a mentor to them, always this minister that we see in the Bible, he looks at them, and he outlines for them some challenges that he sees that church facing. Now, the challenges of the church in Ephesus are different than the challenges that we see today. Okay, 2,000 years removed, we're a completely different part of the world. They had some stuff that they were going to deal with. We have our own challenges for today. However, I do find this interesting that Paul warns them specifically of the temptation to sacrifice the glory of God for cheap idols like money and power and prestige. Apparently, that's a universal temptation because we see it in Ephesus, we see it today. But he wants to warn them of the challenges that they're facing, and he gives them a charge. And that's this. He says this: keep watch over yourselves and over the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God that he obtained through the blood of his Son. Now, we know the second part of that pretty well, I think. Keep watch over the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. We know about what that means. Last year, we spent all of October and November talking about spiritual leadership and all of the responsibilities and duties of the people who lead us, of what it means to keep watch over the flock that God has placed in their charge. We kind of know what that means. And our elders, they've been praying. They pray all the time. They read books. They even attend conferences to equip themselves, to know how to do this better. But it's that first part that I want us to look at for just a second. Keep watch over yourselves. Hilton, Jim, and Paul, keep watch over yourself. You are our church's overseers, but your calling to oversee the life and ministry of this church is your second calling. It is your secondary calling. Your first calling, and Paul names it first here, is your calling to Christ in your own personal life and in your own personal relationships. It's interesting that when the Bible lays out the qualities that we should look for in church leaders, the qualifications for eldership that we see in 1 Timothy and Titus, the different things that they point to are things like strong spiritual habits, healthy lifestyles, good family relationships. And we've asked you to be our elders because we see those things in you. We know that you guys know how to take care of yourselves. We see your families. And by the way, it's just good to see all of you guys. It's good to see you, Seth. And it's good to see you, Mark and Paul, and your families with you. But we see in you the fact that our church leaders have good interpersonal relationships, and we charge you to take care of those things. We have asked you to be our elders because we see you taking care of yourselves, and we see that you allow God to pour into you. And we ask that you lead us out of the overflow of that, out of the overflow of God's grace. So attend to your own heart. Attend to your own prayers. Attend to your own habits and your own sins. Attend to yourselves. Look out for yourselves. And we ask this of you, and we will support you in it. We know that your job can be very difficult. St. Augustine once complained that there's nothing in this life more taxing, more arduous, and more perilous than the work of being an overseer, minister, or deacon. Well, we hope you don't feel that way all the time. We hope that this is more than a burden. But we ask that you watch over yourselves. We don't need burned out elders. And we ask because we know that you cannot lead us unless you are being led. And you can't give us what you don't have. So here's what we're going to do now. I'm going to ask Sam Clark if he would come up here. Sam was an elder here for 6 years. Sam and our beloved pastor, Ralph Arnold, were ordained on the same day. And he served this church in this capacity. And then when you stepped down, you and Dolores entered sort of a new title. type of leadership, a servant leadership that we see you in. We see you taking care of people. We see you sharing your wisdom. We see you serving others, washing people's feet, so to speak. And so it's appropriate that we have asked Sam to lead us as we bless our elders and ordain Paul. So first, can we have Hilton and Jim come here? So we're going to have Hilton and Jim come, and I'm going to ask Sam to lay his hands on Hilton and Jim and pray for them. Now, laying on hands, this is a gesture by which Israel, Jesus, the early church conferred blessings on people. By placing our hands on them, we tell them that we love them. But it's also a sign of solemnity, that we know that what we are doing right now is important. It is sacred. This is a moment set apart. And so, Sam, will you pray for these two men?
Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this church, for each member. And Father, today we'd really like to thank our two elders who have served in times past, really for several years, and have shepherded and led us, Father, and to let them know that we love them, and that we love their family, and we appreciate all of their hard work that they have done in leading them. And Father, we know that they are true leaders, and that we do not have a problem with them leading us down, helping us down to that straight and narrow path. Father, bless them. Have them be with us, Father, in days and weeks and hopefully years to come. That we know that they love us and that they'll help guide us. And that they follow the great shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ. It is in his name that we pray. Amen.
Get that mic. We can have Paul and Sherry come up. Jim, would you...
Luann and I have been members here since the early 90s, for about 25 years or so. And in that time, we've seen a changing church, a lot of different demographics, a lot of different ministers. We're blessed so much with the young and talented and exciting ministers we have now. But all through it, we have found a group of people that have been serious about their service to the Lord, been loving toward each other. We've enjoyed wonderful classes, wonderful preaching, and a spirit of God. For the last 5 or so years, I've served as an elder here. Before then, I served for about 5 or 10 years as a deacon. And I've seen some of the challenges that we face in leading the church. And once I became an elder, that really became clear to me. And the different stresses that we all are facing as a brotherhood and as an individual congregation. Hilton and I have enjoyed serving as elders, but we needed some help. And so we reached out to the congregation and solicited folks who would join us and bring some wisdom. And one name bubbled to the top well above all the others, and that was Paul Vaughn. And he and Sherry have been here for many years now, and we have been blessed by their presence. Paul and Sherry are examples to all of us. I have been to their life group, though not as often as I would like, but to many events at their home as well. They have a beautiful home, and they are welcoming, and the life group that meets there is excited to be there and are always fed well and very happy to be there. I've watched as Paul has taught classes and has done communion-focused messages that have been inspiring. My background is very different from Paul's in one critical way. I grew up in Houston. I've been a longtime member of the Church of Christ. My parents were in the church. I'm very steeped in Church of Christ tradition and church. Paul grew up in London, in England. He's lived all over the world. His church background looks very different from mine, and I find that to be exciting. Someone who can bring in new ideas, someone who can look at things from a somewhat different perspective. I have grown to be very respectful of Paul and his opinions, and think that we could not have made a better choice. And one thing that I was encouraged by when we first asked Paul, he agreed to serve. We didn't have to trick him or to promise him anything. Instead, he saw this as a duty and an opportunity to serve, which was exactly the right thing, and made me confident that we had chosen well. And I look forward to serving with Paul and with Hilton as we go forward. And I think that you can have great, well, his granddaughter doesn't agree, but that's, I am excited to serve with Paul, and we will endeavor to the best of our abilities to serve this congregation.
We're going to be praying in just a few moments, and usually I like to pray spontaneously, but I want to say to our young ministers, both of them who are here now, I believe, they help us elders look better to you, the church, than we look by ourselves. Thank you, fellows, for helping us. But Roy gave me a prayer by Hippolytus, who was one of the leaders of the church in Rome 400 years after Christ. And when they had an ordination of an elder, this is his prayer, which has been slightly modified by a New Mexico sheep herder. But I hope that you will appreciate the fact that we're seeking ancient wisdom for the needs of open hearts. And so if I'm going to get over here, and I'm going to get between Paul and Sherry, if I may, and I'm going to lay hands on his shoulder, and I'm going to ask Jim to do the same, and ask you to bow your head in reverence to God as we pray unto him. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. You, the one who has said, I inhabit the praise and the prayers of my people. We're calling upon you, Jehovah God, Lord of the universe, but mainly our shepherd. And we've sung songs, we've read scriptures, and we humbly acknowledge, Lord, that we cannot do or be anything without you. And therefore, we're calling you in this ordination, in this laying on of hands, in this precious moment, to be with us and to attend our prayers. You are the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask you to look upon your servant here and impart the spirit of grace and the wisdom of elders, that he may help and guide your people with a pure heart. Just as you looked upon your chosen people and commanded Moses to choose leaders whom you filled with your spirit, which you gave to your attendants. Make this man a repentant, a reverent, and an optimistic soul because of the fact that you are our shepherd. Now, Lord, unceasingly preserve in us the spirit of your grace. Make us worthy so that being filled, we may minister to you in singleness of heart, praising you. Help every one of us as congregation and as leaders to learn to lead from a position of weakness, to respect you, and even to reverence each other and have respect for each other. We ask you, Lord, that this be accomplished, because Jesus is our shepherd, and he has given some the calling of being a shepherd. Will you, Lord, in your glory and might, transform the life of Paul so that it is good to have been in his presence and to feel his grace. We ask you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to be with your holy church and with the leaders who have been chosen here, that great things will happen so that your name will be glorified forever and ever. Amen. Now and through all ages, we praise your name. In Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen. We're going to have one more prayer, but before we do, I'd like to ask Luann and Avanel if you would come up here, if you don't mind. And just kind of stand behind Sherry. Maybe put your hands on Sherry. And if we can have the Vaughn family, like all you guys. Oh, Chloe left. Oh, come on. Chloe's got to come back. Come on. You got to bring Chloe. Chloe and Mark and Jale and Yue, if you come up here, please. And while they're coming, if we could have our deacons, if you guys can come. And Jay. And we're going to have a lot of people. Don't you worry. Daniel, if you could come up here. Hey, bring Megan. Hey, come on, Megan. Come on, deacons, wives, anybody? Actually, what I want to ask is for all of us who want to come and place your hands on our elders, if you would do that right now. So we can have our church. I'm going to encourage. Come on, guys. Come on. Somebody stand up. Come up here. I'm going to start calling names. Come on. Okay. We're not used to this, I know. I know. We're not used to this. But we have our deacons, we have our deacons' wives, we have families. Come on, Seth. Come on. Come on. Come on, go stand behind your parents. Put your hands on your parents here. Clyde, come on. Like one of our deacons over here. Come on. Come on, Susan. Come on, Renee. Come on. And put your hands on them. Put your hands on our elders, if you can, if you can reach. If you can reach. And the rest of you, it's fine, but if you wouldn't mind, just please stand. Paul, Jim, and Hilton, we are surrounding you and placing our hands on you to show you that we support you, that we esteem you highly in love, and that we submit to your leadership. And I imagine that the weight of all of those people putting hands on you, that you can feel it, and that it feels a little heavy, and that's just as it should be. I'm going to ask Sam to offer one last prayer for all of us.
Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, this is a truly very special day for West University Church. We're so happy that Paul has now joined our eldership. He and his good wife, Sherry, to work in that capacity. Father, we just want to let them know that we support them, that we love them, and we will be there when they need us. We know, Paul, that as you enter into this new task in the church, that there will be times that will be difficult, be times that you will need to be joined in prayer with our good shepherd, Jesus Christ, that you will work with Hilton and with Jim. And as our prayer is, as you all exit your meeting room, that you will be one in him and your decision that you've prayed on and you've discussed regarding the church here at West University will be one that we will move forward down that straight and narrow path. As you shepherd us and watch over us and love us and maybe bring things to our attention sometimes that will help us in our Christian lives. We pray, Father, that you will bless them, bless each member, and bless West University as it may continue to be a shining star and a shining light in this community. Be with our ministers, be with Roy, and be with us that we move forward, Father, in such a way that it would be pleasing to you. And for Daniel, Father, as he leads us from the pulpit, bless us, keep us, and forgive us of our shortcomings. For it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
You may be seated. You guys can all be seated. We have, we are blessed with good shepherds. We've been gifted with good shepherds. And one of the blessings of our shepherds is that they pray for us, that they take care to bring our needs before God. And so I'm going to extend an invitation right now. If there is anything weighing on you that you need to bring to the church, to our leaders, or if there is anything that we can do to help you come to know Christ, our good shepherd, better, now is the time that you can do that as we stand and as we sing our invitation song.